there was a point where I used to dress fully like a man so that I can get the respect that I thought I deserved, because I thought I would only be respected if I looked like a man, dressed like a man, and acted like a man. And honestly, loves, and if you're a guy listening to this, it is true. A lot of women feel like they can't really share themselves fully. This is a thing. And I felt like if I dressed too cool for school, or if I showed any beauty or wore any makeup or showed any signs, that I wouldn't be taken seriously. And that was my name on the dental door, my office that I had. And I was still coming from a place of imposter syndrome. That's still, by the way, fear of failing. That's still an ideology, a tiny little thread from the idea of perfectionism, that we need to be or uphold a certain standard of ourselves in order to be accepted. Life's moments come with their ups and downs, but every experience is an opportunity for growth and connection. Introducing our very popular That Sucked, Now What? Specifically crafted 44 prompt conversation card deck and our 52 card deck of affirmation cards designed to transform your relationships with brave conversations and interactions in your life. Imagine peeling back the layers of everyday conversations to reveal deeper, more meaningful connections. Our conversation cards are your key to unlocking stories, laughter, and understanding among friends, family, or even just going a little bit deeper. And now with our affirmation cards, start every day with a positive nudge. 52 powerful affirmations to remind you of your boldness, your unapologetic resilience, and your worth. A simple practice that can dramatically shift and change your perspective and uplift your spirit in your day-to-day. Now, these are not just cards. They are gateways to deeper self-growth and self-understanding and brave conversations. Whether it is for yourself or a thoughtful gift, head over to thatsuckednowwhat.com. That is thatsuckednowwhat.com and grab your bundle today. Now back to the show. Hello, hello, Brave Table fam. Welcome to another episode of The Brave Table. I'm your host, Dr. Neetha, and this is your destination, your oasis to be all things just a little bit more brave. Brave in your actions, in your relationships, and in your life. And today, I have, if you're watching this on YouTube, I have one of my That Sucked, Now What? Affirmation cards. And today's reading is, each breath reminds me that I'm fully alive and far from finished. And I'm only getting started. Ooh, yes. Well, and my action is, list 3 to 5 action steps you would like to accomplish towards your big goal this week, big or small. So this actually reminds me of kind of a full culmination of, I think I shared with you last month that I've been embracing something completely new, which is my love for yoga, but not just in the wild, in a fully structured practice and training as a 200-hour yoga teacher trainer. And I know, Brave Table fam, some of you are like, Neetha, do you really have time for that? And honestly, I thought that myself. I'm going to link my show notes there to let you in on the process. And one of the things that I really wanted to commit to myself this year is coming back to me, coming back to some of the things that help me play and allow myself to come back to my own sacred center and to be brave to actually ask yourself, well, what is it that really makes you feel regulated? What really makes you feel grounded? And I feel like with a lot of our episodes this season, and if you are new and this is the first time you're listening or watching and you randomly bumped on this episode, I just want to welcome you, because here is where we talk about having brave conversations with ourselves to do brave things that sometimes might be completely unconventional, to have brave walks in life. I have been known as the queen of reinvention from my own independent awakening over a decade ago now, and leaving my tumultuous first marriage, coming out and emerging out of an abusive relationship, and to really find myself. And this took about 5 years in all to find my now co-pilot, and that human is Ajit Nawalka, and we now have two amazing babies together. And never, ever, ever did I think in a million years I would, you know, leave cosmetic dentistry, leave my practice, actually sell my practice, and unearth all of the things, move cross country from the Midwest, from Chicago, to completely start new after all my family telling me that I was this air quotes black sheep, or that I was in a cult, and to live on my own terms, right? And so for those of you just watching this for the first time, welcome. You've arrived because you've found your own sense of bravery, or maybe you're braving things in your own life. And sometimes that means to let go of familiar, let go of maybe traditional modes of success, let go of people pleasing, let go of what will people say and what will people think to arrive at your own full expression. Do you know what most people are so afraid of? What is the number one fear that most people have? And that is literally speaking out loud, sharing your truth, speaking on stages, speaking in a boardroom, public speaking. Fear of public speaking is the number one fear that we have. And this comes from an idea that A, we have to be perfect when we are speaking. And so in order to unravel all of that, we have to kind of use what I like to call your own bounce factor. And building your bounce factor is one of the key tenets from my best-selling book, That Sucked, Now What? And the first part of building that is really coming into alignment with your upbringing or your past. Were you shamed in grade school, high school for sharing your truth? Did you have bullies around? Were your parents the biggest bullies? Did somebody in your family, an aunt, uncle, teacher, say, you can't do this or you're not supposed to share this? I know in my life, it was my family. It was really, you know, girls aren't supposed to speak their truth, and or it had to be in a certain box, if you know what I mean, the good girl box, because good girls only act a certain way, right? And so, you know, many times we have this conditioning and this conditioning is placed upon us. And so then it starts to build anxiety. It starts to build this idea that I'm not going to share. I'm not going to open my mouth unless I am correct. Because at the dinner table, I needed to have facts or I needed to have X, Y, and Z, fill in the blank. And so then we start to have this anxiety around speaking our opinion. And I know that from a lot of you, and I was leading my own retreat, shout out to the folks at the Sri Sri Ravi Shankar Center in Boone, North Carolina. If you have never been, wow, that was my first time actually being there, facilitating there. The people are so warm and beautiful. The grounds are so sacred. And I had no idea that this place was found from the founders just flying over the Blue Ridge Mountains of North Carolina and saying, this is a sacred spot. And they found this whole area from looking down on an airplane saying, I want to build a spiritual center here. And it's bananas. It's wild. And by the way, I've been to many spiritual centers in the US. I have never seen one so diverse, all different cultures, nationalities, because, you know, typically we think this is a privileged thing and, you know, only one color is supposed to be there. There was everyone. And I was just so, so excited to see that because we just don't really see that in a lot of times the work that we do. And so the thing that I really want to kind of dive into is specifically in that retreat, I did have a lot of people sharing that, you know, growing up, I wasn't allowed to speak my truth. Growing up, I needed to be the good girl or the good guy. I needed to be the protector of the family. And we started to allow some of these that sucked now what moments, I mean, the retreat's called That Sucked Now What, you know, emerge to the surface. And if you were there, you remember what we did. We kicked, we stomped, we screamed, we allowed. And most often, we are not giving ourselves permission to really share and express our throat chakra. Our throat chakra is one of the most sacred areas of our body to fully express our truth. And many of you know, I'm also co-founder of Highest Self Institute, and we have one of our certifications actually coming up towards the end of this month. It's our 3-month embodiment certification. So you could actually learn how to embody your fullest expression in yourself. And we have this 3E method, this triple E method that we take you through in 3 months of being able to fully emote, being able to fully embody who you are, who you're growing into, who you're stepping into, and being able to fully express yourself. So if you have ever had issues of speaking your truth or fearing that, oh my gosh, what will people think? What will people say? Will I be judged for speaking my truth? Because chances are you may be criticized. And if you have a wounding around being criticized as a child, or if that part of your bounce factor is not built up, you're not going to have the resiliency or the inner strength to ward off when trolls come in and they reject your business idea, or they reject what you're doing, or say, oh, why are you doing that? You know, when I shared with some family that I was going to do and embark on this yoga teacher training, they're like, aren't you past that? Aren't you too old for that? Don't you already do that in your things? Like, why do you need another thing to do? And this was also my own running dialogue as well. And it's like, actually, no, it's not for anybody else, but for me. And yet there have been tinges of my own perfectionism coming into play of, ooh, I am not fully there yet. Therefore, I'm not going to want to teach this to anyone. And I had to check myself to say, is this coming from a place of ego, or is this coming from a place of, you know, let's dive into that because I know I'm not going to be great. However, I know that because I've fully developed my throat chakra, I've fully learned how to emote, embody, and express, that it doesn't really matter what anybody else thinks or does. I'm going to do me. And so I want to invite you to think of, in many of the ways, where are you actually playing small? Where are you holding yourself back when it comes to your fullest expression at the expense of, oh, it's not going to jive with anybody else, at the expense of, oh, it's going to ruffle some feathers? Because sometimes if it ruffles some feathers, this is the work, the inner work that we have to do with ourselves to untangle or get clear on, all right, I am not going to please everyone. And actually, that is a good thing. That's actually great for me to build my inner bounce factor, to build my inner strength, because that inner strength is so wildly important to who I am becoming. And this was another question that was asked, you know, over the weekend. And quite honestly, this past month has been a full craziness of events because I was also speaking at a university, and that was earlier in April. And then we had our recap of our Highest Self Festival, which was amazing for those of you who joined. And if you aren't already following our journey on Instagram, you can go ahead at Neetha Bhushan and you can see all the stories, the recap, and or you can even read about it on the blog. You can actually join our weekly newsletter, Your Weekly Reset, and that is yourweeklyreset.com. And I will also link that in the show notes. And so you don't miss a beat of what's happening and when our next events are going to actually be happening. And so this entire month has really kind of brought back a few things. And two things I think most of us really struggle with, especially when we are being brave and putting ourselves out there. And so one question people always ask is, okay, when you've done a training or when you've developed your throat chakra, do you still get nervous before a talk? 1000%. I'm not going to lie to you. Absolutely. But what is the difference between the feeling and the emotion of nervousness and the feeling and emotion of excitement? And so that is the thing. We can call it nervousness, or maybe our body, because our brain does not know the difference. Our brain has the same response. Our central nervous system has the same response when activated. It's flight or flight. And we know the 4 trauma responses, right? And if you don't, it is flight or fight. Flight, which means we escape, we leave, we go away, we fight, we are literally going to go into the confrontation, go into the meat and start, you know, our cortisol is going to raise and we're going to just go into the fire. The third is we fawn. We kind of acquiesce to the other person's needs, or we freeze and we don't do anything. we essentially get stuck, air quotes, we get stuck in the suck. And so in order to recognize some of these patterns, fight, flight, fawn, or freeze, we have to understand our upbringing and we have to make peace with, again, our upbringing. And knowing that, you know, with our upbringing, we're not going to be able to change anything. We're not going to be able to do anything different. The only difference that we can do is have more compassion with ourselves, right? More compassion that, oh yeah, I did have to go through that, or I don't have to feel bad for myself anymore because now I can take action on what I can control, which is now in the present moment today, walking, stepping into the next version of myself. And for many people, when we are doing something new, when we are kind of in the unknown, when we are exploring or braving a new part of ourselves, the old parts still want to come along. The old parts still want to come along because it's familiar. It makes us feel safe. So that's why we go back into the same patterns. We go back into the same coping mechanisms. We go back into the same ways of how we've dealt with trauma, with hardship, with difficult emotions, because those coping mechanisms kept us safe. It kept our nervous system feeling safe. So if you've always felt nervous, air quotes, before you are doing a performance or a test or speaking in class or speaking in the boardroom or at a new event, at a networking event, and everyone's going around and you're like, uh-oh, I'm noticing my heart's beating really fast. I'm noticing, oh my gosh, I don't want to share anything about me. I do not want to open my mouth. And then you get called on, right? And so the nervousness still keeps coming up. But what if we start to reframe that into just excitement? Because our brain is giving us that same physiological response. Our brain doesn't know any better. Our brain thinks, oh my gosh, it needs cortisol. It needs to be activated. And I'm going to start running away from the bear. Well, the bear isn't there. And what's the worst case scenario? You open your mouth, you share your truth. You stumble across a couple of words. Did you survive at the end of the day? You did. Did you grow maybe some new neural pathways because you did something different and you're starting to build that internal muscle, that internal resiliency of being able to do hard things that make you uncomfortable? And so this, my friends, this is the juice. This is the secret sauce. This is the sweet spot that oftentimes we fail to recognize. Oftentimes we completely forget and we completely take for granted when we are charting out and doing something brave, doing something new. And so I needed to also take my own advice that no, actually, I'm quite excited that I get to, quote, suck at something new. And this is actually a good thing because the more we put ourselves out there, the more we realize that we don't need things to go and be perfect. And it's a reminder as well that, are we actually doing things from a performative standpoint? And I'll just share a story with you. Growing up, ever since, you know, the age of 5, for me, dance, ballet, Indian dance, classical dance, you name it, I was in. Piano lessons, recitals, competitions, etc. Everything that I grew up doing was performative. And so I was trained that everything needed to be perfect, or I wouldn't win the trophy. I wouldn't get the accolade. I wouldn't win the spelling bee. Actually, I wasn't really good at spelling, so I never won any of those trophies. Sorry, Dad, you know, wherever he is watching from above. But in my mind, performance meant perfection, or I wouldn't do it. And I'll share just a quick story with even, I've now seen this in my own son, and I caught myself because he's around that age where he's going into different after school activities and we're kind of exploring, you know, what he likes and what he doesn't like. He's 5 and he shared he didn't want to go to a certain activity. And this was just recently. And, you know, when we dug a little bit deeper, we found out that he didn't want to go because the days that he would go, this was when they weren't giving prizes. He only wanted to go when he was actually getting a prize so that he could compete and he can win the award or win the, you know, sticker. And, you know, sticker is a big deal for them, or win the carrot, basically. And so it just triggered me because my inner child got activated. I'm like, oh my goodness, am I passing this thing down to him? And so I had the awareness to actually have a conversation with him to say, you know, it's okay to not have an accolade, an award, a sticker. You're not going to get stickers every single time. I know that makes you feel really good because then it became a little power dynamic of, well, I'm not going to go because, you know, it's not fun. It's not fun if I don't get the sticker. Well, then we got basically down to the basics. How does it make you feel when you don't get a sticker? Well, it makes me feel sad. And that's why I think, you know, any mamas out there, any parents out there, you know, who have children, it's always good to really have these conversations to go to that root. If they are, you know, age appropriate, we're obviously not going to get it right many of the times, but when we are having and seeing our own awareness and our own expressions, we can have those repairs and we can have that reconciliation. Hey, love. Want to go deeper and behind the scenes with our mini trainings with some of our guests on the Brave Table? Then become an insider and get the inside scoop. It's absolutely free and you'll unlock private mini trainings that will help you be even more brave in your relationships as we go deeper in certain areas of your life. So become an insider today for free at neethabhushan.com/insiders. That's INSIDERS. And learn from the Vice documentary Shaft on Pleasure, Dr. Kate Northrup on Money Blocks, Karen Rockland on Speaking Your Truth, and Dr. Nisha Khanna on Women's Health, and so, so much more. And guess what? It's all free when you go to Neetha, that's N-E-E-T-A, Bhushan, BHUSHAN.com/insiders. Grab your inside scoop today. And now back to the show. So, you know, going forward in this, also seeing that in our babies, that what are we passing down? Are we passing down that the accolades are really important? Or can we actually just do something because we can suck at it? And so that's what we've been instilling. All right, what did you fail at today? What did you try so hard at? And I want to know the journey. I don't care if you get the award. I don't care if you fail. I just want to know that you tried. And this is a message even for me to even just try and literally have fun in the process. And so this past weekend at our retreat, we had, you know, so many different experiences with people who had never and been completely exposed to, you know, being at a retreat center for the first time, doing things that were completely uncomfortable, sharing their emotions, getting super vulnerable. And the thing is we created the space for it. We created the space so that they can unleash and unravel and take whatever feels good for their nervous system. And hopefully to reframe some of the nuances and the ideals that we had from when we were growing up. You get to do that today. You get to start to reframe some of those things. And it's not to say that, you know, you're not going to have another trigger later on. It's still going to happen. But what I've found is that in breaking down, all right, what is the root of perfectionism, let's just say, if we were to talk about perfectionism, what is the root of the fear of public speaking? Well, when people are asked, why are they afraid of public speaking? Well, what if I trip? What if I stumble on my words? What if I get judged? What if, and you can think of the number of scenarios people will share. I don't want to get judged. I don't want to mess up. Well, what if you do mess up? What does that say about you? And so if we keep going into that, we'll find out the real juice, the real meat of what's really limiting us, what's holding us back from truly expressing our fullness in whatever baddie way it looks like in this season and stage of life. And what I really love the most of, you know, about seeing all of the different ethnicities and the diversity in the room, and not just from culture, but also the intergenerations. I had the pleasure of having my bonus mama, Bua, who everybody knows is my dad's sister, who literally raised me. And many, many times, there were moments where we didn't speak for years. There were many, many moments where I truly disliked her. And she knows this. And if she's listening, she knows we've been through, you know, our ups and downs. Like every relationship, right? And we are so focused to repairing. It's still messy. And so, you know, I think I shared when we were in India not too long ago, earlier this year, she had apologized for something where I never, ever, ever thought in a million years. I'm like, wait, what? This is happening? And so I'm not saying it'll happen in your scenarios. I'm saying that, and don't wait for it to happen, because if you're waiting for an apology, if you're waiting for forgiveness, and you're constantly thinking that that's going to happen, that you have an expectation around this, it may not actually happen, right? It may not. And that's something that we have to be okay with, right? And so, however, we can be okay with the idea that we are putting our best effort forward, that we are coming from a place of compassion. And I was so emotional when she was there, because I can also see her inner child letting go in some of these playful, you know, activities that we were doing in the room, and to see her in her 70s and to see some other participants in their 70s. And we had people in their 20s, and we had mamas who were in their 30s and 40s. And we had people in every single era, you know, stage of their life. And it was just so beautiful to witness and see everyone coming together, recognizing that a lot of times what holds us back is really the same limiting beliefs and the same fears that we all have. Yet our ego fronts come up, you know, and they're like shields to defend us from whatever it is that we think that people are going to judge us on, which is so bananas, because if that's what really holds you back from really sharing and being your authentic truth and service. And we had, you know, one girl who she works in a fully male dominated industry, and she felt that she couldn't be completely her full vibrancy, her full essence, because she needed to be like the males. And I shared when I was actually going to, you know, dental school, and I was going to all of my dental school interviews, and there was a point where I was going to go to the East Coast. So I did interviews. I went to Harvard and Boston and Tufts. And over there, I'm like, okay, they've got to take me seriously. And I still have a photo. I shared it. And if we've come across it, I will actually put it so that it is on YouTube. But there was a point where I used to dress fully like a man so that I can get the respect that I thought I deserved, because I thought I would only be respected if I looked like a man, dressed like a man, and acted like a man. And honestly, loves, and if you're a guy listening to this, it is true. A lot of women feel like they can't really share themselves fully. This is a thing. And I felt like if I dressed too cool for school, or if I showed any beauty or wore any makeup or showed any signs, that I wouldn't be taken seriously. And that was my name on the dental door, my office that I had. And I was still coming from a place of imposter syndrome. That's still, by the way, fear of failing. That's still an ideology, a tiny little thread from the idea of perfectionism, that we need to be or uphold a certain standard of ourselves in order to be accepted, in order to be worthy, in order to be loved, in order to belong, in order to get taken seriously. And so these are the roots that I'm inviting you to go into if you're struggling with expressing yourself, in really unleashing yourself. And I think that a lot of times, and even, you know, recently in the last, ever since with social media, we're now creating memes and, you know, TikToks and things to really fully express our fullness. And sometimes it's only the highlight reels, but a lot of times, a lot of you are putting your emo face on. And I think it's so amazing that we're making that shift, because even in the room, I would still see the differences in generations. Like the younger generation, they were okay in their fullest expression, where some of the folks in the older generations were not okay screaming their heads off, were not okay doing the screaming exercises, because they were never given permission to. Just like when I was at the beautiful university leading a professional development training for faculty, staff, and deans. And woo, that was a tough crowd. And when I asked, you know, is this uncomfortable? Yes. They were all like, yes, I don't want to be judged in front of my peers. I don't want to be judged with people that I look up to and respect what will they say? What will they think? Because they only see me a certain way. So therefore, I have to dress and act and be somebody that I'm actually not fully, just so that I can be taken seriously. And so I thought that was really interesting that many times in corporate world, and I don't know if this is, you know, still the case across the board. I know in certain industries, it is more just contextual where you are at, where you're working. But I hope now we are being able to dismantle a lot of these ideals and thoughts that we have to be a certain way in order to gain recognition, gain acceptance, gain belonging. And if we do fully learn how to activate our throat chakra, fully learn how to activate our own internal expression of who we are and how we're showing ourselves to the world, without any doubt that, you know what? If people are going to say things, they're going to say things anyways. So let them talk. That's okay. But that has nothing to do with you. That's their own personal opinion. And that is okay. You are doing you, and that's all that matters. And that is just a overarching theme, because I feel like so often when we are braving the next iteration, the next level of who we are, it is scary. When we are braving, unleashing or digging into this idea that we don't have to be perfect. What is perfection? What is this fear of absolute failure that you think you need to strive and be a certain way or to do a certain thing? Allow yourself to get messy. Allow yourself to unravel and get unkempt in the process. Because through that messiness, you get to find the magic. You get to find your own mess and turn it into those magical pebbles of who you are. And that is so much more relatable than someone trying to, you know, be somebody that they're really, really not. And I think what we are all doing, we're actually giving, you know, even I see my own aunt in her generation, in her 70s, now starting to wild and out. And it's beautiful and fascinating to see. So I am celebrating you in all of your imperfect ways. I'm celebrating you that you are starting something new. I'm celebrating you if you are focusing on your own expansion and leaning into what's uncomfortable, because in that discomfort, you get to find your own secret sauce. And that is the most juiciest thing that you can do for yourself. And so if you are curious, we are opening doors to our Dharma Coaching. In fact, it's our Highest Self Institute and Dharma Coaching Institute, but our embodiment certification. This is where you learn for 3 months how to fully emote, start healing your inner child, and start embodying your truest expression of who you are, embodying in your flow, in your feminine energy, in your own ways of releasing outside noise of what society's expectations have on ourselves, and come into your own expression, whether it's art, dance, music, poetry, singing. My co-founder just created a beautiful album, which we'll link in the show notes, and it came from her own self-expression, to be fully expressed. And, you know, I think in each iteration of who we are becoming, we can allow ourselves to be our own muse, to come into our own inner artist when we are fully expressed. Most of us start by activating our throat chakra and our voice to maybe have these brave conversations, to maybe start this idea of knowing what's right and what isn't good for me at the moment, and to be able to say, actually, no, that's not. So if you are curious and you want to learn more, go ahead and visit us at highestselfinstitute.com. That's highestselfinstitute.com for our embodiment certification. I'd love to see you there. We'll also link it in the show notes. And if this episode resonates with you, we are so always looking forward to hearing your stories. You can share it with us on IG, tag us at The Brave Table, follow me at Neetha Bhushan. And if you haven't already subscribed, please like this video, subscribe, and follow us. You can just hit the follow button on Spotify and or iTunes, wherever you are watching this or hearing, listening to this. And if you haven't already submitted your 5-star review, I would be so, so thankful. I know that you can choose so many other ways to spend your time. And I hope every week this is adding so much value to who you are, to your growth edges, to expanding in ways where you are also creating ripple effects for the people that you serve. So with that, I will end. I will see you next time. And don't forget to be just a little bit more brave.